You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to the House of All Marine Radio. You're on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network, broadcasting live from Nye, Montana. What do you see the pictures from Nye? Yeah. Holy shit. Montana, just a spectacular place. Beautiful is not even the right word. It's beyond beautiful. So on Saturday, got up. And flew from Orange County to Denver, and Boeing 737 with maybe, I don't know, 20 people on it. Yeah. You could have shot a cannon through that thing and not hit anybody, which was nice. Spread out, did a little work on the way to Denver. On the ground in Denver, where I met the guy who contacted me. You've heard him here on All Marine Radio, James Moran. And met James in the airport along with a couple other guys that were headed up here with his group. And flew into Billings, Montana. And, you know, it's having lived in North Dakota for almost 15 years, you know, it makes you smile when you come back up here because we raised our family in this part of the country, and it's different. And dare I say it's better. You know, it's you meet regular people, normal people, and you don't see the craziness so much. Right. But anyway, get to the airport in Billings, and we rent a car and drive over from Billings west. I think it's Interstate 90, drive and just see beautiful stuff, small towns, beautiful scenery, driving through Montana's big sky country. And then we got here, and we pull off a road, head down the access road to the ranch, and pull up, huge log cabin, right, three stories. And as we get out of our car, we walk around back by the river. It sits at the fork of two rivers. And the rivers are shallow rivers, right? So they're fly fishing rivers. And they're not easy fly fishing rivers, which was awesome to watch because the Marines that were up here didn't do very good, which was pretty hilarious. But it wasn't for lack of effort, I will say that. In typical Marine fashion, they were on it. But as was, described to me, now you can find land on, parts of the river where it's deeper and slower and the fishing's easier, but the fishing's not easy around here. So anyhow, He's just beautiful. Just beautiful. And you know, if you're listening to this in the podcast and you clicked on the, you know, you clicked on this edition or this podcast, you saw the picture. I mean, it's beautiful. That's out the back. That's out the back porch, the balcony, the veranda, whatever the hell you want to call it. So just an awesome place, owned by a former Marine and, you know, joined the Marine Corps in the 80s. And, now he and his family up here originally from Texas and been living up here for a while and, just an absolutely gorgeous place. And so, what I'm doing up here is I'm with, an organization called the Bar X Project. And what they do is, you know, you see veteran weekend retreats around the country, right? And so, and that's pretty normal stuff. And, so veterans get together. Tim Lynch is the one really that sensitized me to the role that post-traumatic winning could play in this. About a year ago, maybe, Tim went to an event in Colorado, and when he got home, he said, "Dude, you got to get involved in this." And I said, "What are you talking about? What'd you do?" And so he explained. And so these things go on all over the country, and you come and you're in, you know, beautiful, you know, part of nature most of the time, and then. You eat good food, you're hanging out with veterans, and it's all good. Well, the Bar X Project improved on that idea. They got guys to come together that have fought together, that have served together. And so, you know, they were telling me, man, you should see the scene at the airport. So anyway, to finish my thought on Tim said, but when you leave, you know, it's cool. You meet good dudes and you're hanging out and it's fun and you're laughing and some of the conversations are serious. Most of them are not. And then, you know, when you leave, he said, I got to tell you, it's a downer because you go back to your life where this stuff's not a part of your life anymore. And if you got involved, man, you'd give them a mission and you'd help them see the path. So... on one of my trips to Colorado Springs, I had a conversation with a woman who ran the thing that Tim went on. And, but the VA funds her stuff and they have some rule that says, yeah, there can be no soft programming or anything like what I do, what post-traumatic winning is. And so, we couldn't work together. And, so, I don't know, a few months later, James calls me. And when James calls me, man, I've been like, he doesn't know it, but I've been waiting for him or somebody like him. And he said, you know, Mac, I am involved in this thing. And I think, you know, and I've been listening to you. And, you know, one of the consistent things that we deal with is, you know, when everybody leaves, it's, you know, it's kind of a downer. And I was thinking, and I didn't even let him finish, man. I was like, dude, let me tell you something. I've been waiting for you, man. Oops. I said, I'm all in. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I can tell you what's going to happen. And so James says, okay, could I, why don't we set up a call with my board? I said, okay. So he sets up a call with the board. And, you know, it's a Skype group event or some shit like that. So James introduces me and he said, okay, Mac, you have the floor. I went off on these five guys for like 25 minutes. And I was telling them, let me tell you with certainty what is going to happen here. You know, you guys, in my opinion, are the model because of, you know, the intimacy that these guys share, man. And I said, every time I think about the scene at the airport, it makes me smile. You know, guys, you know, some of these guys got wounded and they got medevaced out of the country and they haven't seen each other since then. Some of them, you know, served out the deployments together, you know, and then went their separate ways, you know, which is a little bit easier to take. And I said, but you're going to put those kind of guys back together. And I said, it makes me smile every time I think of it. And then, right, I'm going to drop post-traumatic winning on them, and they're going to, first of all, I think they're going to understand better for themselves, and that's first and foremost. But then, you know, in typical Marine fashion, that ain't good enough, man. You need to go, and you need to go help other people. And through that, you will transform yourself as you transform them. And so I'm talking this shit for 25 minutes, and it isn't shit. I think it's everybody who listens to the program knows. It's just, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. And so at the end of it, I'm like, all right, I'll shut up and listen now. And nobody said a word. And I said, hello? And they're like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, no shit, whoa. So anyway, so you know, we got here Saturday and met everybody, and I will tell you, there's no warmer place in the world than hanging out with Marines. And again, I was in Iraq at the same time. They were down in Fallujah. They fought in the Second Battle of Fallujah. So they're Lima Company, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, and I was up in Ramadi, right? So, and I watched them. You know, I watched the battle. You know, Roger Turner and I were doing current operations for the rest, for Ramadi, Husayba al-Qaim, as the division and the MF carved out a spot around Fallujah that became the Fallujah battle space. And we had J.J. Carroll, John Myrna from the Division G3 were working that. And so anyway, but we all watched it, right, very closely, because we'd been sitting on Fallujah since April. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal for us to crush that zit. So anyway, you meet them, and you know who they are, what they did, you know where they're at now. It's just, you know, laughing and talking, and everybody really nice. And so hung out, and then dinner was awesome. Steak and shrimp. And so when we're talking steaks, you're like talking Montana steaks, okay? Right? We're not talking like supermarket steaks or some bullshit like that, right? And shrimp. The shrimp was awesome. It was they baked it with, and you know, the cook said, just some Parmesan, a little bit of garlic salt, some seasoned Italian breadcrumbs and butter. I'm like, dude, that was awesome. and salad, and then again, hanging out and talking. And then yesterday morning, I did post-traumatic wing. And it's interesting because, I mean, it's not like these guys haven't seen programs. And these guys, right, I mean, they had, I want to say, 32 Marines killed in their company during that fight. And so they're no strangers to living with trauma. And so, you know, you do it, you watch their faces and how, you know, are they receiving it? Do they think it's bullshit? Blah, 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 blah. And slowly but surely, you know, you see them lean into it. And then by the time you get to the end of it, and then the other thing is that, you know, you see guys getting tears in their eyes, right? You know, and then during breaks, one guy named Mike, he stands up and, man, he gives me this bear hug. And I'm like, dude, you're crushing me. And he says, you need to be crushed. And, but, right, you enter into kind of this sacred place with them, right? A place that they've been in a lot of times by themselves. A lot, you know, for these guys, together, you know, they've gone through this shit. And then all of a sudden, you know, what post-traumatic winning does is it clicks on a light and it shows you a path to a beautiful place. And they're looking at it going, oh my God. Like, with all this horrible experiences, horrible experiences, I can use them, and all I have to do is ask those two questions. That's right. Hey, man, can I talk to you? Hey, you know there's nothing wrong with you, right? And that will start the conversation, and you can change somebody's life. And then they begin to think about it. Now, and then, like, so then, you know, then... You know, we sat and talked and shot the shit about it. And then, you know, then guy's going to go fishing. And so, you know, going to have lunch. And then as the day wears on and the evening wears on and they're thinking about it, right? They're, one, he was a company gunny in Fallujah. He's like, hey, I'm going to come work for you, man. He goes, just take it, take that shit to the bank. Take it to the bank. I am coming to work for you, right? You are going to need help, right? You're not going to be able to do all this alone because, Mac, this is unbelievable, right? He goes, and let me tell you, I mean, he said, it took me until 2012. He said, when you said you got to talk and the first person you should talk to is your spouse, he said, sometime in 2012, my wife looked at me and said, are you ever going to tell me? I mean, think about this. Are you ever going to tell me about the things that trouble you so much that you won't let me go near? I mean, so, and spouses, I mean, that's, they respect that. Like, I don't want to talk to you about this. That prison that we put ourselves in, like, oh, it's so, you know, it's so extraordinary, I can't tell you. But the truth is, what we get raised on is, you know, your grandpa fought in World War II. He never talked about it. Your uncle fought in Vietnam. He never talked about it. Okay, well, I can handle my shit. So that means I don't talk about it. You know, well, that's bullshit. But that's not what we believe, right? That's how we believe that we should do it. You know, that's how we believe that we should do it. And so we put ourselves in our own prison. And he said, you know, I started telling her about, you know, what we went through. He said, you know, like you said in the presentation, he said, man, you were so spot on in the presentation. It's like you were reading my brain, because that's exactly what happened to me. He said, I didn't have to tell her every gory detail. He said, but I probably told her more than I thought I was going to. I said, and what happened because of it? He goes, oh man. He said, I feel closer to her, and I know she feels closer to me. And he said, it was nothing but good. And I said, bingo. He said, man, no, you are dead on. And so, and then you keep having that experience. There's another Marine here that you'll hear from this morning. You know, he works with kids in Richmond, Virginia, foster kids. And he comes up to me later. He goes, hey man, he goes, this is perfect for my foster kids. You know, and I can use my experience to relate to them because, you know, just as foster kids, they've gone through a lot of traumatic shit. And I can show them this path. And he was so excited. He goes, dude, I've come on these trips, but I've never seen anything like this. And I'm so excited to go back home and change their lives. And I said, dude, watch what happens. Watch what happens. They're waiting for somebody like you to do something like this, you know, you're going to give them hope that even, you know, I'm a foster kid. Nobody wants me, or my family, you know, was destroyed. And, you know, now I'm, you know, a ward of the government being shuttled around to these homes. And this dude's going to change my life. He's telling me that there's a better place, and that even I, with all that I've been through as a young person, I can use my experience to help other people. And I looked at him and I said, boom, man, boom. So, and then, I mean, that went on, different versions of that conversation went on all night. And then they talked about how they're going to come back up here. They're going to come back here with their wives. And then their wives are going to see post-traumatic quitting. And they were just, it was, I mean, and so James comes up to me and he looks at me and he goes, are you surprised? And I said, no, man, I told you what would happen. He goes, dude, this is awesome. This is awesome. And I said, look, man, this is, you guys need to be prepared. And I said, I told you this in the conference call, but you guys need to be prepared to start doing this 12 months a year. You know, the 3-month thing. And I mean, doing it a few times in the summer, you got too much good to do. And he looked at me, goes, I know. He goes, they were talking about that, that, you know, you can't do Montana in the winter. So maybe you do, you know, Sedona, you know, find some place that would host it. You know, maybe you do it someplace in Florida, you know, or wherever the weather's, you know, a little bit more temperate and it's beautiful and you can get outside and fish or whatever. And he said, yeah, they're talking about that. And so, I mean, I often describe post-traumatic winning as good on top of good on top of good on top of good on top of good. And, you know, the last 2 days have been, you know, an example of that. And last night, you know, things that happened to you that you know, stick in your head. Sergeant Major, that's up here, looks at me and he says, "You have the best post-military career, post-military job in the world." And I said, "I do. I do." He said, "Man," he said, "this is fantastic." He said, "I've never seen anything like that." I said, "No, I know." You know, and then I had another conversation with somebody and they said, you know, a lot of people develop a hypothesis and then they support it. He said, "You did it the exact opposite way." I said, "Yeah, I listened. I listened. Everything you heard today. It's no bullshit. It comes from Marine." And then after I'd heard it over and over and over and over, even a dumb shit like me says, "Hey, man, I hear a different version of the same story over and over and over again." And that's what post-traumatic winning is. And so post-traumatic winning is a deductive event. It's not I've heard these things and I'm hypothesizing this. No. I've listened to Marine after Marine after Marine for into the fifth year tell the same story. And it's amazing how guys walked up and quoted part of the presentation and said, "That's exactly the reality that I've lived." Right? Guys up here that have been wounded and blown up and shit like that. And so it's just been a phenomenal start to a week up here. And so today, after I do this, we'll head over to Billings and drop a couple guys off at the airport and then head down to Fort Smith where there's another group of Marines. I think they're Bravo Company guys, 1st Reconnaissance Battalion, and who are getting together down in Fort Smith. And then go hang out with them for the rest of today and then do post-traumatic winning tomorrow morning and hang out there. And then on Wednesday morning, go back to Billings and drop James off. And then I'll head to Big Timber, Montana to go see Montana Man, F-18 Man, and his oldest son are going to be there and hang out there for a couple of days. I'll do another call with the VA, so keep my fingers crossed and knock on wood that good things come of that, and then head up to Helena to do it next Saturday, and then fly home next Sunday. So I'm lucky, and maybe I'm not lucky. Maybe I think there's, you know, I got taught from the time I was a little kid to keep your head in the game, right? Bear down, pay attention. And those words have always stood me in good stead, right? That if you pay attention, and post-traumatic winning has started with my company, Gunny Lance Y, telling me that I would never get over it. That was the first piece of mental health advice I ever got in my life. You're never going to get over this helicopter crash. You're never going to get over seeing a sergeant by the name of Bazzarini die in front of you. You're never going to get over, you know, that captain is decapitated, you know, and dealing with all of that, you know, and you need to know that. And then listening for, you know, 4 years and into the fifth of Marines tell their story and then saying, there's a place we could go. So, I don't know if I'm blessed or cursed, but I can tell you that keeping your head in the game and trying to do better, I think makes for winning things, whatever you're doing. So pretty cool, pretty cool. So, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this Monday morning official. I don't know that we're going to do the news today. It might be a little bit shortened version of the program today because we got to travel. So I want you to meet a couple guys. And big news is the Bonhomme Richard in San Diego caught on fire. And I'm not sure how that happened. I mean, it happens to foreign countries, but a United States naval ship, warship, catches on fire? In a harbor, like what happened? So anyway, but we may not get to the news. So United States Marine Corps Band makes Monday official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to the Marines I've been hanging out with all weekend. They're Marines from Lehman Company, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines. Just an awesome weekend. To the people that hosted this thing, to the guys who supported it. The Bar X Project has a winning formula, and that is bringing guys who fought together or who served together and bringing them together. And then I think... letting them learn about post-traumatic winning and then them being fired up to go home to change people's lives, knowing the joy that that brings into people's lives. It's pretty cool. So this is dedicated to everybody who had a hand in it that this weekend, and God bless you.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We're going to take a look at marine weather around the world. So currently, partly sunny and 81 in Quantico. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, mostly sunny and 85. 29 palms. Holy smokes. Hold on. I have to make sure this is right because I'm struggling to believe that this is true. Good God, man. 29 Palms, sunny and 94 right now. Good luck out there today, boys. You might want to stay indoors. At Marine Corps Base Camp Smith in Hawaii, sun coming up, cloudy and 69. Camp Smith, I'm sorry, in Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy and 83. The Helmand Province of Afghanistan, where my next guest and I served, I think it close to the same time, Dan Jones, but it is evening, clear and 94 degrees. And in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear, sunny, and 109 late in the afternoon. At the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is ...71 degrees today, looking for a high of 75. That's a look at your weather. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here in your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.